Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to talk about Paul's introduction to the first letter to the Thessalonians. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I focused on Paul's greeting to the brethren in Thessalonica and his constant habit, which is a great one for us to get into ourselves, in his writing as he begins to communicate with them. He always begins by reminding them who they are. He reminds them of their fundamental identity, and that their whole identity, their whole life now, after having received the good news of the gospel about Jesus, says the Lord Jesus Christ, who fills them now with faith, hope, and love through the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he reminds them that they're children of God, that they're loved by God, that they're chosen by God, and to help them keep in mind that the biggest thing that's happening in their lives, despite all the daily responsibilities and the daily trials, is that the work of God, the unique saving work of God, has now begun in them, and it's real, and it's personal, and it's profound, and it's literally Jesus, the Lord, who has now taken up his abode with the Father in the heart of those who received him and were baptized into him. And so an entirely new relationship has happened. There's a lifeline, there's a divine lifeline that has been extended. They've been given a new heart, a new kind of love flows through the veins of their lives, and their hearts are being transformed and tenderized. And Paul reminds them of it because it's so important to remember and to think about what they've been given, but also applied to our lives, because what they've received is what we've received. It's the same thing. And it's the thing that the devil wants to come and steal. He wants us to be overwhelmed by the circumstances of daily life, wants us to be overwhelmed by our troubles, by our discouragement, by being beaten down, by the self-condemnation that may be present in our lives, whatever tapes are in our mind, whatever emotions try to grab us first thing in the morning. They're discouraging, they're dark, they're painful, whatever that might be. Or just simply being so busy and so distracted and so into completely whatever it is we're into that we forget God. If we're moving in that direction, he just wants to keep pushing us forward, right? If we're beginning the day remembering who we are and beginning and standing on the rock who is Christ and being grateful and humble and just saying, Lord, it's amazing what I've been given. I mean, I've met many concrete blessings in this world. You know, you've been faithful in this way and that, but the biggest thing is you've given me yourself, your life. You've laid hold of me. You're giving me a kingdom, and you've promised to be with me forever. Even when I don't feel you, I know you're there. Even when there's a difficult trial that I'm walking through, I know you're there, and I know what you're like, that you're faithful, that you're merciful, that you're kind, that you're gentle, that you're tender. Yes, you're just as well, but your justice is meant to lead us to repentance, to salvation, to all that is good. You're in my corner, Lord. You're for me. You seek my good. You seek my ultimate fulfillment. Beyond my wildest imagining, you've done this for me. Friends, that's the reality of who you are and the relationship that you have with Christ, if you're baptized into him. This is why the saints and the brothers and sisters that Paul talks about here in his letter to the Thessalonians, to others in the New Testament, to the saints tell us that, and we see so plainly through their stories, that the circumstances of life no longer had some kind of ultimate hold on them, nor did it define for them if their life was good, if their life was fulfilled, if their life was meaningful and fruitful and filled with joy. The circumstances of life, even human relationships, didn't have weren't the ultimate determiner as to what kind of life they would live and what they would experience. And we'll see it here. Just picking up where we left off in the first chapter of St. Paul's first letter, the Thessalonians. He began, I'll just read again the stuff I covered just briefly from yesterday because it's so short. He said, We give thanks to God always for you all, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a wonderful summary, you might say, of just Christianity at the heart of it, friends, is that we have a Father. Our Father is God himself, God the Father. And before him, God the Father sees the work of faith, the labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope that believers now live in being in Jesus Christ. Faith, hope, love. Really the theological virtues that are foundational, that they're given to us as a gift from God in baptism as the Holy Spirit becomes to dwell in us. He begins to make these realities come to be, you might say. So always helpful to know and be able to answer the question, what is God doing in my life? What's God's will for me? What's God's plan for me? Well, his biggest plan, his fundamental plan for all of us, and the number one purpose he has is to form you into the image of his son, Jesus. That means to live the way he lived, and how he lived, friends, was to the number one priority in Jesus' life. You might say the Father's plan for his life is that he would love God the Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love his neighbor as himself. So what's the most important thing you are called to? What's God's will for you? What's God's will for me? We've now been given this gift of the Holy Spirit poured into our hearts through the gift of baptism. We're united with Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit, St. Thomas Aquinas calls it the new law in us, the law of love, the power of the love of God now leading us to love the law of God from the core of our being, not just as an external imposition or some kind of weight that's on us and a sense of duty. It's important to have a sense of duty. But what happens to us now in relationship with God is the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ is given to us, and the love that Jesus has for the Father, the radical abandonment and delight that he had in living from the Father and for the Father and in the Father, this is what he's given to us. And he's telling us, look, the most important thing on earth you can ever quote-unquote, accomplish, it's not just your own accomplishments, it's a cooperating with God's gift and God's work in you, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Friends, if almost everything else you put your hand to in the world, a business you try to create, you know, a home you try to build, whatever, if whatever you put your hand to and your strongest efforts don't come to what you hope they would, but you die having loved God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and having yielded your heart and your life to the Spirit, living with forgiveness and the tenderness of Jesus' heart begins to tenderize your own heart. You become merciful and compassionate. You become kind and gentle. You become forgiving, loving, living in that and being loving toward God. How did he demonstrate for us what love looks like? The love language of the Trinity. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. That's exactly what he did in relationship to the Father. He said, the Father's will was his very food. He delighted, he loved, he was passionate about his relationship with the Father and then living out the Father's plan that he knew was complete, was absolutely perfect, was a gift, and was going to lead to life. And he wants us, that is, Jesus wants us to see the Father the way he sees the Father. His patience and kindness, so he's saying his compassion, his tenderness, his love, his power, his great power. He's the God of all things, and that power makes him capable of fulfilling every promise that he gives to us in his son Jesus and through Jesus, because he's love itself, he's truth itself, he's honest. He's good. He's a good God. And he's going to give to each and every one of us. He's got the power to fulfill his good promises to us. And no, you're not the exception. You're not somehow standing outside or disqualified before God because you're a schlep or because you've fallen into sin in the past or because of this, that, or the other thing. All the stuff, the long laundry list of things that the devil sends his demons into our lives, to just stand there and to accuse us, to drive us into the ground, to discourage us in order to steal this grace from us. He can't take it from us unless we give it to him. And so he tries to seduce us, to tempt us, to lead us to a place of discouragement. So we surrender, we give up, we give in, and we turn away from the promises that Christ and St. Paul reminds us we're meant to lay hold of with all our strength. This is what forms our identity. Not your money, that is not your bank account, not your accomplishments, not your bloodlines, unless it's the blood of Jesus that you're leaning on that flows through you. Not your looks, not your neighborhood, not the car you drive, not who your friends are. What defines you fundamentally is this reality. Are you a child of God or not? And if you're a child of God, you're given everything. You're given a kingdom, and you're given an identity, a purpose, and a destiny. So yesterday I ended here on verse 4. Paul said, "For we know, brethren, beloved by God, you are beloved by God." That's how we ended yesterday's program. We should end it every day that way. Remember, you're beloved. God loves you. That's his orientation to you. God is love, 24/7, 365, and he's chosen you by name. He made you, you know, you're his idea. He formed you, the very person that you are. Even if you're beat up and discouraged and battling addictions and troubles and pain, whatever it is, God sees the pearl. That's the core of your being. You may be beaten down. This world might have dealt you a bad hand, but it's not over. And God has sent forth his son to bring you into the fullness of everything you are meant to be that you don't even know yet how wonderful you are. Because everything God made is good and it's wonderful. It's a fallen world we live in. We are fallen, so it's been tainted. But Jesus has come to bring us into full restoration. And you're someday going to shine like the sun in total glorious freedom. So hang on to that truth, friend. He's chosen you for that, and he sent his son to claim you and to bring you home. He says, "For our gospel, for our good news came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." Why was Paul certain that those he was writing were beloved by God and chosen? Because God the Father worked that grace in them we call faith. When they heard the good news about Jesus and Jesus' diagnosis of our condition and the human condition and the biblical worldview that comes forth in preaching Jesus Christ as Lord and is dying and is rising for us, when the light goes on inside, when the human heart begins to be turned, that's the grace of God. And that's a work of power. It's the power of God's word. That's a word that's enlivened, that's animated by the Holy Spirit. So Paul, again, he says, "For our gospel," that is the good news about Jesus, "came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit." Friends, have you received the gospel in power and in the Holy Spirit? Did it produce conviction in you? As Paul says, a conviction about who God is, about who Jesus is, and about who you are, who he's made you, a new creation. Are you standing today in that conviction? If you're not, and you've heard that word, beg the Holy Spirit to give you that conviction and lay hold of it with all your strength and claim it for your life. Because if you've been baptized into Christ, you've been given this gift. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.